Bad is stronger than good. The psychology that keeps us reading the worst. Here's a small confession. A while back, I wrote a blog post that I was quite proud of, put it out into the world, and got a lovely wave of kind responses. Dozens of them. And then one person left a single grumpy, dismissive comment. Not even a mean one, just unimpressed. And guess which one I was still thinking about 3 days later? Not the dozens of nice ones, the grumpy one, every time. Now, I'm not telling you this because I need therapy. Well, maybe a little. I'm telling you because it turns out this is not a reek problem. It's a human problem. It's one of the most robust, well-documented findings in all of psychology. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. It also happens to be the deepest reason the news looks the way it does. And the reason I felt I needed to build Positron in the first place. So let's talk about why bad is stronger than good. The asymmetry you already know. You know this in your bones, even if you've never put a name to it. One criticism outweighs 10 compliments. A single rude driver can sour a whole morning of otherwise pleasant traffic. A relationship can absorb 100 small kindnesses and then get knocked sideways by one careless remark. We are, to put it bluntly, much more moved by the bad than by the good, even when the good is objectively bigger, or more frequent, or more true. Psychologists call this negativity bias, and it's not a vague hand wave. It's been measured, poked, and replicated for decades. And here's the thing I find genuinely fascinating. It's not one single effect, it's a whole family of them. Four ways, bad beats, good. The best map of this I've come across is a 2001 paper by Paul Rosin and Edward Roisman with the wonderfully dry title Negativity Bias, Negativity Dominance and Contagion. They break the bias down into four distinct mechanisms, and I think they're worth walking through because each one maps almost perfectly onto how news works. Negative potency. Simply put, negative things are stronger than equally sized positive things. A loss of 50 euros hurts more than a gift of 50 euros pleases. The bad isn't just noticed more, it packs more punch, unit for unit, steeper negative gradients. As something bad gets closer in time, in space, its negativity ramps up faster than a good thing's positivity does as it approaches. The dread before a difficult meeting grows sharper the nearer it gets, in a way that pleasant anticipation somehow rarely matches. Bad accelerates negativity dominance. This is the big one. When you combine something good and something bad, the result feels more negative than the two parts should add up to. One cockroach will ruin a bowl of cherries, as Rosin memorably put it. But one cherry does absolutely nothing for a bowl of cockroaches. Bad contaminates good far more easily than good redeems bad. Negative differentiation. We simply have a richer, more detailed vocabulary and mental toolkit for the negative. More words for pain than for pleasure. More categories for things going wrong than for things going right. The bad is more finely mapped in our heads. Read those four again with the news in mind, and it's almost uncomfortable how well they fit. Of course, a headline about a disaster hits harder than one about a quiet success. Of course, dread-inducing stories travel further. Of course, a single grim item can color your whole sense of how the world is doing this week. Bad is stronger than good. The receipts. If Rosin and Roisman drew the map, a second landmark paper planted a flag on it. In the same year, Roy Baumeister and colleagues published a sweeping review with a title that just says it plainly, Bad is Stronger Than Good. They went looking across an enormous range of human life. Close relationships, emotions, learning, first impressions, how we process feedback, even how a good or bad day bleeds into the next one. And the striking thing, the thing that makes the paper so quotable, is that they went looking for exceptions and couldn't reliably find any. Across domain after domain, bad events had more impact than comparable good ones. Bad feedback teaches faster than praise. Bad impressions form quicker and stick harder than good ones. And this one stopped me in my tracks. A bad day measurably affects your next day, while a good day mostly just evaporates. That original summary has since been cited in over 10,000 scientific papers. This is not a fringe idea. It's about as close to settled as psychology gets. Why would we be built like this? The usual explanation, and I want to flag clearly that this is a plausible story rather than a proven fact, is evolutionary. Imagine two of our distant ancestors. One is exquisitely tuned to threats. Rustling bushes, unfamiliar faces, a whiff of something rotten. The other is a sunny optimist, more attentive to the nice things. Over enough generations, in a genuinely dangerous world, guess whose descendants are more likely to be around to write blog posts about it? Missing a piece of good news, a ripe fruit tree over the next hill, cost our ancestors a meal. Missing a piece of bad news, the predator behind the same hill cost them everything. When the downside is that lopsided, a brain that overweights the bad isn't broken. It's good insurance. The trouble is that the same wiring dropped into a modern world of 24-hour feeds becomes something a lot less useful. The honest caveat. Now, I have to be fair here, and it's a caveat Rosine and Roizman make themselves. Negativity bias is strong, but it is not universal. There's a whole body of research on our positive biases too, the ways we lean optimistic about our own futures, remember pleasant events more warmly over time, and generally rate life as better than a strict tally would suggest. Humans are complicated. We are not simply gloomy machines. I think that's actually the hopeful part of the story, and it's worth sitting with. The negativity bias is a tilt, not a life sentence. It's a thumb on the scale, not the whole scale, which means it can be consciously, deliberately corrected, which is exactly the point. And that really is the whole idea behind positron in a single sentence. If our attention comes pre-tilted toward the bad, and the evidence that it does is about as solid as this stuff gets, then a balanced view of the world doesn't happen by accident. It has to be chosen. You have to put a little weight back on the other side of the scale, on purpose. That's not naivety. It's not pretending the cockroaches aren't there. It's just refusing to let them ruin the whole bowl of cherries. In the next article, I want to go one level deeper into the beautiful work of Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky, because it turns out there's a precise, almost mathematical account of how we overweight losses, and it explains an awful lot about why bad news sells is more than just a newsroom cliché. Hope this was as interesting to read as it was to dig into. Cheers, Ricky!